Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. Today, I'm delighted to be able to bring to you a company by the name of Plenty. Now, it's a fintech company, ladies and gentlemen, and the ASX code is PLT. Write that one down. Joining me today is Daniel Foggo. He is the CEO. Now, Plenty, listed only last year in September, have had massive growth. So we're going to dig into a little bit about this growth. It's a fintech lender. So it's going to be fascinating chat with you today, Daniel. Welcome to Small Caps. Great to see you wherever you are.
Thank you, Kerry. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, first of all, because some of our investors won't know who Plenty are, could you give us an overview of who are fintech? Who are Plenty?
Sure. So Plenty is a fintech lending business. Our aspiration is to be the best lender in Australia. We currently lend across three verticals, being automotive loans, renewable energy loans, so loans for the purchase of solar panels and home batteries predominantly, and personal loans as well. We've been lending since 2014. We've funded over $1.5 billion in loans. We're very much focused on the prime segment of customers, and we're growing very strongly. The last quarter, our originations were up 260% year on year. So an exciting business and some exciting growth opportunities in front of us.
Where did you come up with the idea to even start this business? Because there's plenty of companies out there, you know, that we've got the big banks, we've got other people that loan. Where does Plenty sit in, and where did you come up with the idea that, you know what, we can change the way lending is done?
So I was working in a bank. We were lending large amounts of money to different corporates, and I was sitting on global credit committee calls and so on. And I saw the process was inefficient and it lacked technology. I saw the spreads between, you know, deposit rates and where people were borrowing, and the fees attached to loans that were really wide. So quite deliberately looked to find a technology-led solution to lending. I met my what became co-founders, who both had software backgrounds. And so we decided to really look to reinvent lending with technology at its core, so that we could deliver a better experience to the end customer and build a business of real scale that was much more efficient than what other lenders were providing. And I guess we were mostly focused on the personal loan market at that time. And I think most people would understand that, you know, it was a very concentrated market, less than ideal amounts of focus on customer experience. So we did see an opportunity to build something quite different and build something that could really grow to scale.
When you say it's technology led, surely other people are using technology, or have you got proprietary style of tech? What makes it so much better than what's already in the market?
Very good question. Look, most lenders in Australia would use some third-party software for most of the technology that they might use. Even a number of, you know, fintech businesses, as they might be described, haven't got their own proprietary technology platform. So we have built our own technology. Of our staff, around 40 are focused on product and technology exclusively, predominantly growth projects. So we've had a consistent investment in building our own platform, and we think that does bring to us a lot of advantages over time. It allows us to build a better customer experience. It allows us to convert demand into loans more effectively, which drives better economics for our business. It means as we scale our originations, we can do it cost effectively. If we double our originations, our headcount doesn't need to double. It's a much lower proportion. So the technology component is extremely important, and owning it from end to end, you know, from when people are sort of you know, doing their loan applications through credit decisioning, through loan maintenance, through to the extensive technology around all of that, through to how we integrate API integrations with some of our referral partners, through to, you know, there's just a vast amount of technology that one needs to build in a business like this. Having that as your own technology is just deeply important to the things I did just talk about. And I think one of the measures is, you know, what's the speed at which you improve your technology? On average, over the last year, we've deployed 5 new features or changes to our technology every day, which is quite remarkable.
Every day,
yes.
Wow.
So that's just something that you can do when you're a fast, nimble, innovative, disrupting business like ourselves. Whereas, you know, obviously some larger sort of businesses with legacy platforms, it might take a number of months of planning before you can make a change.
And you can do 5 a day, like just keep innovating, keep making it a better experience.
It's that, and it's also more significant things as well. So even if I just look at this year, we've launched a buy now, pay later offering for our renewable energy customers, which is now driving strong growth in our renewable energy business. We've also launched a commercial customer automotive loan. So historically, we're just funding consumer customers. There's quite a lot of process involved in lending to a small business in terms of all the regulatory requirements and other things that you need to build for that. But, you know, within a year just over half a year to have launched new products to market is indicative of the fact that we own our own technology. We can do that without having to spend a lot more money or have a lot more cost in the business because we have that.
Yeah, and I guess that's the beauty of fintechs, because you can, you know, move things and make changes fairly quickly. But in launch, you started in 2014, you listed on the market in September last year. Did you start with the 3 verticals in mind? Because you've mentioned automotive, personal, and renewable. Which one came first?
Well, personal loans came first, but from launch, we very much did want to grow into the automotive market, just given the size of that market. It's well over $30 billion of originations every year. It's absolutely vast, larger than the credit card market, much larger than BNPL, but investors don't really see it because it's generally hidden within, you know, large banks or some of the car companies. So we actually met Car Sales early on, shortly after launching, and Car Sales, the listed business, and invested in us and took a 20% stake. So that was indicative of the fact we had a view that we wanted to build scale in that market. We launched our first secured automotive loan in 2017. And then we had 8 different banks funding some of our loans. And then we got a warehouse, so a large facility from a bank at the end of 2019 and started funding out of that last year. And so there's been a whole, you know, years of investment to get us to the point now where we can really scale up our automotive lending business. In our latest quarterly, you can sort of see some of that growth coming through. You know, we I haven't got the numbers right in front of me, but we sort of went from funding, call it $3 or $4 million a month pre-COVID last year to now being, you know, more like $40 million a month. So really strong growth in that segment. That's the great thing is it's such a large market. Our market share is so small. There's just a long runway.
Has COVID impacted at all on the business? Has it been good or not so good for the business? Can you see yourself growing even further through COVID? That's the first part of it. But the second part is there more risk associated? Because obviously in personal loans, even automotive loans, although I've heard the secondhand car market is booming at the moment, shouldn't have sold my car. so my question to you really is, you know, how does that impact? Is it a good way or what's COVID doing to you?
Well, I might start with the last part of the question, which is around credit. Look, certainly at the start of COVID, the COVID period last year, as a credit business, you're obviously worried about how your credit might perform, but we were very pleased. We started from the right place. We lent to prime customers. We're very underweight, high-risk segment, so people under the age of 30 and self-employed and casuals relative to other lenders. So our loan book performed exceptionally well. Even, you know, our the number of customers who sought to defer their loans was, you know, very low relative to other lenders. from that perspective, we're really pleased with performance. We've subsequently seen deferral levels go back to actually pre levels, the levels they were before COVID. And through this current lockdown, again, that we're going through now, we're seeing really resilient performance today. So we don't have particular concerns on the credit side of the business, just given where we're lending to, which is in that prime segment. Now, in terms of the growth opportunity, sorry, you can hear my dog barking in the background.
So that's what lockdown does to you. We've got dogs saying, let me out, I want to go for a walk.
That's exactly right. Look, it definitely meant that we tightened our credit criteria for a time last year, but we actually, through that period, because of the credit characteristics in automotive lending and renewable energy lending, had record quarters in the June quarter last year and every quarter subsequent. So really pleasing opportunities to grow through this period and those two verticals. In personal loans, we did tighten our credit criteria. So we pulled back from that market, cut our marketing, but that subsequently recovered really strongly to be a record quarter in the quarter just gone. I think that's indicative of actually this disruption, meaning that some of the large incumbents like the banks have pulled back from some of the segments we're in, be it automotive finance. You know, Westpac's just sold their automotive loan book. Yeah, so we're seeing some of those large banks pulling back from some of these markets. We've also seen the big four market share in personal loans decline quite dramatically over the last 18 months. I think they're increasingly focused on, rather than maybe focusing on the end customer in some of these verticals, it actually makes more sense for them to fund businesses like Plenty. We are the ones who are able to invest in the technology, deliver a better customer experience and so on. They can, you know, with their balance sheets, lend to businesses like ours and derive good economics that way, rather than having to make those investments in things like technology. So we quite like that evolution going forward, and certainly, you know, it was a trend that was already underway, but I do think that COVID has accelerated it.
You've spoken a couple of times about the better customer experience. I'm just curious as to what makes Plenty a better customer experience than the others out there, and also, is this something that other people could come in and emulate? In other words, what's your competition like out there?
Sure. Look, from the day we launched, it's all been about making sure we put a better experience or a better product in the hands of the customer, and that's how you gain market share. In that regard, you know, we've got more 5-star reviews, so the top review from customers on review websites, like Google Review, than any other consumer lender in Australia. We've won, I think it's about 30 awards for the products and the company that we've built. So that's indicative of that customer experience. It's really, you know, one of the cultural values we have is looking at things through the eyes of the customer and making sure we're building a better experience. You know, as an example, you know, when we launched our personal loan in Australia, we were the first to let customers you know, get an indicative rate without negatively affecting their credit score. So, you know, to your point, you know, that's now been, you know, broadly adopted. So one has to keep innovating and improving what you're doing. And the bar does keep getting elevated, which I think is great for consumers. But for Plenty, it's all about looking at what's next. Where else can we improve? How else can we make it a simpler, easier experience? You know, if somebody's going through a broker, be it an automotive broker or another sort of broker or an installer of renewable energy products, how do we streamline the process so it's easier for them to provide finance to their customer? How do we integrate better with them? How do we make it faster? Yeah. An example is, and you know, and when we do work with automotive brokers, you know, we really strive to be exceptionally fast, and we'll typically decision an automotive loan application within about an hour. When a few years ago, it'd be typical to be a few days. Some of the competition's getting a bit faster, but you know, they're typically quite a number of hours, if not a few days, at different times of the year. So we're really just looking to set new benchmarks in terms of, you know, the speed, making sure we're offering a really fair, transparent product to our borrowers. And you know, if you do look after your customers, obviously they keep coming back to you. They tell other people about you, and success breeds success.
All right. Well, there's three verticals. I just want to ask you a quick question on that, and then I want to get into the investment case.
Yes.
You said that the automotive industry was $30 billion. I'd like to know how big is renewable and how big is the personal loan, and what percentage of those do you currently have? And like, can you see that there's still more growth in those three verticals?
Sure. Look, in the last year in automotive lending, it was about $38 billion of new origination. So if you think of the outstanding loan balance, it's obviously much larger than that. When we look at our originations of, you know, on a run rate basis, around $500 million a year, you know, still relatively small market share. So there's a long way for us to go there when you're at around 2% market share.
Unbelievable, yeah.
If you look at the personal loan market, you know, that's depending on what numbers you sort of use, you know, it's around $12 billion of originations. You know, again, we've got a relatively low market share there, about 2%. So there's a long runway for growth there also. Renewable energy, you know, is a little bit harder to characterize the size of that, but in the last year, there were over 300,000 installations of solar panels across Australia. Only about 3% of those were coupled with home batteries. That penetration of home batteries is increasing, which is dramatically increasing the need for finance, because batteries change the cost of installation from about, call it $6,000 or $7,000 to $16,000 or $17,000. So you can see that that market's got plenty of scope to growth. Even the installations of solar panels grew about 30% in the last year. So as people are at home and thinking about home improvement and so on, that's a growing market. So it's a sizable loan market. You know, we're originating around 7 or 8% market share of the finance that is sold through, you know, vendors, be they OEMs like Tesla, be they, you know, energy retailer companies or your local electrician who are arranging for the installation of these sorts of products. But we see plenty of scope for us to grow market share in that space, because there's actually not many players in that area. So it's a bit of a niche, if you like, but we really like the credit characteristics. We really like the growth of that vertical. And we also like our thing in terms of, you know, the country's clean energy future.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, look, we're living in Australia. Everybody talks about it. I have to ask you, we've talked about three verticals. What about the mortgage market? What about the home loan market? Is, you know, I have to ask. I mean, we're all obsessed with property. Is that something that plenty will
Indeed.
Be looking
for? Look, I think there's a few interesting things that flow from that. We've proven our ability to leverage our technology base to go from one vertical to another and another. Our prerequisite to go into a vertical is to ask ourselves, can we be the best at lending in that vertical? So that's the way the lens through which we look at the world. We inevitably, given the entrepreneurial nature of our people and our business, will look to lend in new areas over time. The mortgage market is a logical one to look at. Our chairman, Mary Plowman, used to run ResiMac, which is one of the large lenders in that space. But I think, you know, we're constantly just evaluating the mortgage market versus other opportunities, and at the right time, we'll make hopefully the right decision.
All right. So we've got an investor audience here. We understand the business now, and obviously there's a lot of growth to come. You've had phenomenal growth to date. Are you profitable at the moment? And go on.
So we set three financial objectives when we released our results in May. One of those was to reach $1 billion loan book by the end of our current financial year, which is by the 31st of March next year. Another one is to reach NPAT, cash NPAT break even by June next year. And the final one was to bring our cost to income ratio down from 55% to 35%. In our latest quarterly, we had a really strong quarter. We updated the market saying that we had made strong progress to each of those milestones. So, you know, pleasing that we're at that sort of tipping point as a business. And I think to answer your question, you know, why invest in a business like ours? I think it really comes down to the fact that we are in, you know, large markets. We're growing really strongly. So we have a long runway for growth, given the size of the markets we're in. We have a lot of operational leverage in what we do, given the technology base that we have. So as we scale, we should be able to derive better and better economics, which is indicative of that cost to income ratio objective we have in terms of coming down. And I think there's some interesting milestones ahead of us as a business, obviously reaching some of those objectives in terms of cash NPAT break even hitting $1 billion loan book. And we did just launch to the marketing phase yesterday, a $300 billion transaction where we're selling debt to investors. So some automotive loans, which we've currently funded through an automotive warehouse. Obviously there's an opportunity to take out quite a lot of cost in terms of the funding side of our business. And that's an example of one of the steps where we're taking in that regard, which again, just comes to the economics of the business as we scale. So we've absolutely built this business to be a larger business, hence the investment in technology and so on. And we're seeing a lot of that investment play through now in terms of scale and in terms of the economics we can drive at scale.
Given you're a fintech business, given that you, as you said, you can grow, but you don't need to do more headcount, will you need to go to the market for cash in the future? Or do you think that because you're growing so much and it's looking very positive for the company that you won't need to go back, number one? And will you go international or are you going to just focus on Australia?
Answering the first question or the last question first, look, there's such good growth opportunities for us in Australia. I think we're very much focused on success in this market first. And I think over time, of course, one might look to other markets in due course, but we're very focused on just Australia currently. In terms of capital for growth, really pleasingly through our bank funded warehouse structures or in our automotive structure where we've got a $450 million facility led by one of the big four banks, we did just reduce the amount of equity we need to put into that by over 50%. We updated the market last week on that. And then in the transaction I talked about, the asset-backed securitization, which we've got in market at the moment, on the Moody's report on that, there's a further reduction of the equity we need to put into that from down to 0.5%. So you can see as we scale, there's less equity we need to put into our loan book, which actually means that we've got a solid runway in terms of growth. Or growing that loan book, which is really pleasing.
Okay, well, we're almost out of time. Investors love to hear it. If you're growing fast, this is a business that's still got a lot of growth. What about a dividend policy?
Look, I think we said we're getting to that cash NPAT break-even point, and that's one of our objectives prior to June next year, to have that as a number of months prior to that time. I think there's clearly decisions that a company makes when you're a high growth company, when you're at that point around, do you move to paying dividends or do you invest more in growth? And I would say those decisions are to be made, but there's clearly an opportunity at scale for a business like this to be paying dividends.
Well, as you said at the beginning, you're only just really getting started. There's plenty of runway, as you say. Daniel, given it's an investor audience, could you please give us three reasons why, you've had good growth. Why is now a good time for investors to put their hard-earned cash into Plenty?
Look, fundamentally, I think we're the best placed business to take advantage of some real structural changes going on in the personal loan market, the automotive market, and elsewhere, where banks are really retracting from the prime credit audience. That's the largest lending segment in Australia. And for the first time, it's really been cracked open by businesses like ours. And we would like to think of ourselves as the most successful and the largest fintech consumer lending business in Australia. So we think we're best placed to take advantage of that opportunity. And if we continue to be successful in doing that, then clearly we think we can create value as a business.
Daniel Fogo, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So you take somebody that's worked in a bank and a couple of software engineers, put them in a room and they come up with a new way of lending, which is certainly, as Daniel said, it's got a lot of runway. I said at the beginning, the ASX code is PLT. Check them out because I think that there's a lot of good news to come in the future. Daniel Fogo, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thank you very much, Carrie.